Well, Saints, I want to share a revelation with you that was confirmed here about the door into the bride is closing. And Michael Hare said on 8/23/2013, the word of the Lord came to me in the morning prayer time while praying in the Spirit and said, I am closing the gate. The gate is closing. Humble yourselves and come unto me before the gate closes. The gate is closing. And Michael said, I believe the Lord meant the gate into the bride is closing now, and very soon it will be closed. We gave you warning of this many months back, that this was going to happen. And I believe this is one of the final warnings concerning this. And Michael said, I asked the Lord for a word concerning his word on the gates closing. And he gave me a Romans 6:11-14. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. This is most important. The bride has that garment on, that lampros garment in Revelation 19, which is the righteous acts of the saints. The bride is not the bride in position that we're talking about now. It's the bride in manifestation that we're talking about now. And the key is right here. It was given to Michael. He asked for this word, and he was given it by random. And it's an amazing word. It's the truth. It's the gospel. He said, even so, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. That's what faith does. When we, first of all, confess something is sin. See, if you don't confess it as sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? But if we don't confess it as sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And so, for those who know of their sin, he says to exercise your faith. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto this sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. See, the devil tells you this sin has you. You are overcome by it, but Jesus says, no, I've overcome it, and you need to believe it. And then he tells you that this is the way to not let sin reign in your mortal body, very plainly. First, you've got to recognize it and confess it as sin and renounce it and then accept what the Lord did for you at the cross. He said, it's his command, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. The biggest problem with saints is many times after struggling with something for a long period of time because they didn't stay steadfast in their faith, they didn't hold fast the confession of their hope that it waver not, they just begin to justify it. And then it's a falling away time. And then they don't hear from God about it anymore, and they think everything's okay because they've justified it and basically told God no in their spirit, even though they didn't say it with their mouth, and denied the Lord. And their conscience became seared, and now they don't listen concerning that particular thing anymore because God didn't slap them or whatever. But, you know, the apostle said that they store up judgment for themselves in the day of judgment. So this is what he wants for those that are in the bride, is to let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts thereof. Neither present your members as unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness. You give your members to sin, to the mind of the flesh. You give them over to it. And you become an instrument of unrighteousness. but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead. You know, here I am, Lord. I am alive from the dead because of what your Son did. And I present my members as instruments of righteousness for you. And verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now you know what the law was. The law said, this is bad, don't do it or else. But we have power under grace. We have a better covenant based on better promises. We have power under grace through faith. You can try, and fail is all you'll ever do, is you're trying to overcome this sin. But if you accept the fact that you have overcome this sin because Jesus nailed this sin to the cross with himself, and that we are now delivered because reconciliation or exchange has been made, and our sins are now put upon Jesus on the cross, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. If you understand this, confess this, and believe this, God will give you the victory. Amen. And so this exhortation that we're sharing with you is not to drive you under the law in fear. It is to drive you to God for grace through faith. Amen. So we got a confirmation that morning when Michael received that. Merlene also received something. And she said, as Michael had spoken his word that the Lord had given him this morning about the door was closing, at the very last part of that I saw very heavy old hinges, ancient hinges, moving slowly. I did not see the door, only the hinges as they moved. And then I knew that Jesus was weeping as he saw people turn and walk away from the gate. I only saw a glimpse of some people's backs. And after being at home for a short time, I prayed for these people, asking the Lord for verses. And I received Jeremiah 7, 1 through 7. Well, in effect, this connected the word and the vision of the door to the broad closing, to the text that Merlene first shared in that morning prayer meeting that was given to her. She asked the Lord, made a request to the Lord for a word for the body. And she got Jeremiah 6, 12 and 13. And that's because Jeremiah 7, 1 through 7, which was the an amazing confirmation and a connection between the two, you know, warns the people that he was judging in Jeremiah 6 that they would not enter the gate of the temple of the Lord, whom he proclaims to be the righteous, if they did not repent. And I was impressed that this text is not only about the apostates and the factious, but that it speaks of some in larger UBM who justify themselves because they are among us, or even while they don't obey the word, or for other reasons they justify themselves because of their lusts or whatever, you know. And I want to examine this text, but first I want to say that months ago I shared some messages about the bride being chosen before the tribulation, because the 7-day marriage feast represents the 7-year tribulation. And obviously the bride's chosen before the marriage feast. So I received from the Lord that the doors would soon close to be in the bride and escape the tribulation beast, just as Esther and the Shulamite in Song of Solomon did. And after this, many miracles confirmed these messages. You know, like CD players without a CD in them, in which I was preaching on the bride. And when the CD was pulled out, it just kept on preaching on the bride. Things like that were happening. And it was just exhorting people to listen to what I was saying about the bride. It's very important to the Lord that we understand that we're coming to deadlines here. And he gave us a warning back then, a very strong warning, for people to live holy and to be separate from sin and to let the scriptures be our conscience and to put on the holy garments of the Lord Jesus Christ and be prepared to be in the bride. This is a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And of course, some, you know, are justifying themselves in certain sins that maybe God once convicted them of. But now they're not convicted of it, because you know how your conscience is. If you don't listen to it, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter until finally you don't even hear it anymore. It's not that God has changed his mind. It's that he knows you've heard from him and he holds you accountable. Too much is given, much is expected. And you can ignore the scriptures. Many people who are becoming reprobate, really, are ignoring the scriptures, but pay no attention to it whatsoever. No fear of God. The only thing they have is a competitive spirit, angry spirit, self-justifying spirit, etc., etc., etc. And they're just storing up judgment for themselves. But the truth is, this is a time to fear the Lord the most. Judgment is on the horizon in many different forms. And the beast, in at least two very important ways, is coming to conquer God's people. As you know, you who have followed and studied with us understand who the beast is. The beast that comes up out of the pit and goes into perdition is not an individual any more than the beast with seven heads and ten horns is an individual. You know, the seven world ruling kingdoms and their seed, which is still with us today, is that beast, those seven heads. And the beast that comes up out of the pit is that corporate body of spirits that inhabits that beast, takes over that beast. And to be a member of the body of the beast, all you have to do is give in to your flesh, and you'll be ruled by that beast that comes up from the pit, that inhabits perdition, that is the sons of perdition or destruction. Destruction. Perdition means destruction. So God gave us really strong supernatural signs of this. In fact, it's on the front page of our site, you know, and where miracles confirm those messages about the bride. The bride escaping, the being in the bride, the door closing to being in the bride, those things were warned about back then. And the word and the vision that we received on the 23rd now confirm that the gates are closing to be in the bride. The opportunity to be in the bride is now closing. Then another sister spoke up that she saw the hinges on the gate moving, and that was Merlene, and people walking away from the gate. And she received Jeremiah 6:10 through 15 at the beginning of that prayer meeting. And we heard from this text that many have been dealt with in their conscience to obey the voice of the Lord, whether in the Word of God or what God convicts them through their conscience, concerning some disobedience, and have justified it or excused it. And now he will do as he's done to others and turn them over to the beast nature. See, the beast is going to conquer in two ways. Number one, those spirits conquer people. When those spirits take you over, friends, we've had much demonstration in the last couple of years. When they take you over, you don't even know you've been taken. But you're so foolish and so contrary to the Word and so rebellious and so sinful and you think you're justified. That's one way the beast is conquering. The other way is the beast body on the earth, which is inhabited by the spirits from the pit, just as we, the body of Christ, are inhabited by the spirit from heaven. Christ and Antichrist. The body of the beast is going to bring under control and under dominion and under bondage those people who belong to the beast, even though they claim to belong to Christ. Remember that those who take the physical mark of the beast, which identifies them as members of the body of the beast, have already taken the spiritual mark of the beast, which is in between the eyes, the forehead, and the hand, which is the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Those who walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh while they confess Jesus are members of the body of the beast. And they must repent, because it's only walking after the Spirit that we are the sons of God. Romans 8. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Those who walk in the flesh, contrary to the Word, ignore the Word, these are either reprobates or they're just lost people in the world. Doesn't matter. They're both lost, right? And I remembered the dream my wife had many years ago about us being on a treadmill, which is like the world going in the opposite direction while we're trying to go in this direction, you know. And the doors were closing up ahead on the treadmill, and I went through first and snatched her through at the last minute. And so what I'm saying is, please listen and obey all of the scriptures, for these are what we are judged by. Disobedience to these are closing the gates to many. In Scripture, the New Jerusalem and fallen Old Jerusalem are parables of two cities and two peoples today. You can find them in different places, how that God preserved the righteous Jerusalem at this particular time, and at other times God brought judgment there. And it's two types of people. And, of course, God wants to separate the true bride from the false bride, and so that the true bride will shine forth in the kingdom of her father. To have knowledge puffs some people up, and they don't understand that only obedience to that knowledge endears them to God. To have knowledge and reject it, and as far as obeying it, is far worse than to never have it in the first place. Because the Lord says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Many people are justified because of what they know and where they've been and so on and so forth. But they're a stench in God's nostrils because they won't obey Him. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Jesus said. To whom much is given, much is expected. Let's examine this text, the text that was first given to Merlene, the larger text. I'm going to go outside the bounds of just what she had there to the larger text of Jeremiah 6. And part of the parable is there. It's about wicked, unregenerate Jerusalem and how that the beast is going to conquer them. At the same time, we know that true, born from above Jerusalem is never going to be conquered by the beast and is quite safe. We see both of those types in Scripture, and they can be happening at the same time because they are. In Jeremiah 6:1, it says, flee for safety. Now, how do we do that? You know, the beast today is a world beast, and those spirits are everywhere. And they're right there, trying to tempt and try and cause you to fail. Well, the true bride will dwell in safety because righteousness delivereth from death. Right. Flee for safety, you children of Benjamin, out of the midst of Jerusalem. In other words, come out of apostate Jerusalem, those who go astray and lead God's people to do so. Jerusalem was the capital city, right? Well, there's two capital cities on this earth right now, and one of them is of apostate Israel, and one of them is of born again from above Israel, you know. And blow the trumpet in Tekoa. Raise up a signal on Beth Hakerem. Well, why? It's a warning that the beast is coming to conquer. Now, we know people who in the past, you know, gave in to their secret sins. They didn't do anything about them. They justified themselves, and they were taken out by the beast. Taken out. And for all intents and purposes, they are no servants of God whatsoever. They glory in their sin. It says, "For evil looketh forth from the north, and great destruction." Yeah, great destruction came upon them. And some of you listening to me, you have justified yourself until you no longer fight that sin. And you have no power against it because you do not admit it's even sin. You've comforted yourself in thinking this is not a sin. It's okay. I'm just waiting on the Lord. But you're not exercising any faith, and you're not confessing it as sin, and you're not grieved at doing it anymore. Right? And great destruction. Believe me, remember when God turned Israel over to flesh? When they cried out for flesh, they didn't want the manna, they didn't want the man from heaven, the word that comes down out of heaven that gives life to the world. They wanted flesh, and he said, "I'll give you flesh till it comes out your nose." It was a great destruction. It represented a great destruction, given a person totally over to their flesh. The beast comes from the north to take captive the flesh of God's people. Preparations are being made all around us. Can you see them? Do you know what's going on out there? Some people don't fear because they're full of faith in God and their conscience is clean. Other people don't fear because they're foolish and they're blind, and God hasn't given them sense to see. Verse 2. "The comely and delicate one, the daughter of Zion, will I cut off. Shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place." Did you know that some of the people who were called to be in the bride are so backslidden that they're joining these dead churches out there, dead deceptions out there? Every kind of foolish deception is coming upon them. Whereas they were coming out of Babylon, they are very fast running towards Babylon. And apostate leaders who work for the beast will capture those who disobey and are robbed of their understanding. Verse 4 says, "Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day declineth, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out." Darkness is now at hand. I'm sorry that some of you don't believe that. But darkness, it's becoming very dark. Such foolishness. Even the world is becoming dark and sinful. The governments are falling under the power of the beast totally. And darkness, gross darkness, as Isaiah said, gross darkness will cover the earth, but light shall arise upon thee, right? Darkness is now at hand. Verse 5, "Arise, and let us go up by night, and let us destroy her palaces." Well, if you can be destroyed from your position before God, it will only be because you permitted it. Because you justified yourself, because you didn't fight against sin with the faith that God gave you, because you didn't admit it as sin, and you were a bad witness to other people. Those who dwell in darkness will plunder those who go astray. and they go right back where they came from. This is not an unproven theory. This is happening. Verse 6, for thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees, which represent people, and cast up a mound against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a well casteth forth its waters, so she cast forth her wickedness. Violence and destruction is heard in her. Before me continually is sickness and wounds. Those who declare themselves to be leaders among God's people, not necessarily elders, but leaders among God's people, but walk in their sins, blaspheme the name of Christian. And they're a very bad witness to the people of God. When we cease to be good for the world around us, and the world ceases to be good for us, meaning the world is raised up, of course, to bring us to our cross, well then, God really ceases to be our God. And we begin to go back in the way that we came. Many do that. Verse 8 says, be thou instructed. In other words, humble yourself to the commands that you already know about. Right? Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul be alienated from thee. Lest I make thee a desolation, a land not inhabited. Amen. Well, we want to inhabit our land with the spiritual man that's after the image of Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn again thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. And here's the part that was given to Merlene, her warning to the church, to the body, to UBM, whatever, you know. Verse 10, to whom shall I speak and testify that they may hear? The Lord wants to talk to people that hear. In fact, he just stops talking to people that won't listen. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. What does that mean? It means flesh is not rejected by their ears. It's not cut off. They want to hear flesh, and they do hear flesh. And they cannot hearken, the Lord says. Well, if you've ever heard from your conscience concerning a sin in you, and you continue in it, just remember that God didn't change his mind. He'll give you your way until judgment comes. He said, I'll give you flesh until it comes out of your nose. The text goes on, behold, the word of the Lord is become unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Wow, this is so true. I watched it happen in the false revival movement, the false prophetic movement, and the faction movement. They lay aside the word, they don't even pick it up, because they already got a word that suits their flesh. Their ears are uncircumcised. Therefore, I am full of wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. Pour it out upon the children in the street and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken. How many times have I seen that? The aged with him that is full of days. In other words, those who believe that they're mature but disobey will be taken by the spirit of the beast. And their houses shall be turned unto others, their fields and their wives together. Yep, just like in the natural that happened. The place where you once lived in God will be given over to the beast. The land of promise you once had will be given to wickedness. And from what I've seen, you will not even know that it's happened. But the righteous will see it. That's what God said. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. Yep, it's all gain with them. It could be just selfish ambition or ego, but it's still gain. They're given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of my people slightly, yes, but in the flesh, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Yeah, they preach peace to the wicked, but the Lord said, there is no peace to the wicked. And they preach peace doctrines to them, you know. I'm okay, you're okay, but those people, they're bad, you know. And as you know in the scriptures, the one that turned out being the bad people, the ones God sent. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all. Neither could they blush. In other words, their innocence along with their conscience is seared. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You know what I think this time may be when he visits? The man-child ministry is anointed. That's what I think. In verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now they don't consciously say that with their mouth, but in everything that they do, they say that. They're ignoring the word. And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So they refused to hear the warnings of the coming judgment of the beast upon them. Therefore hear ye, nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Yes, what they have thought of others will come upon them. They will reap what they have sown. Because they have not hearkened unto my words. Oh, you better love the word of God, friends. It is your very best friend, because if you find out now what is the criterion by which the Lord judges, you should pay very close attention to it and make sure you're on his right side. Now, that's just good common sense, but it's not so common. And as for my law, they have rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me frankincense from Sheba, and the sweet came from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing unto me. See, because God says obedience is better than sacrifice. People think, I'll give God something to placate him, but I can't give him this and I can't give him that. No, he wants what he wants, and he's already told you what he wants. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. Boy, he does that. Even the silliest things cause them to fall head over heels. The silliest, dumbest things they get offended about. That nobody in their right mind would get offended about. Behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall stumble against them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. They will be offended as the Jews were against anyone sent from God. They were justified by the little rules and regulations that they kept, but they didn't recognize Jesus when he came then, and they won't recognize Jesus when he comes now. And they don't recognize him when he does come to them now. Because who he sends comes in the name of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, a great nation shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel. They have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, every one set in array, as a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Zion. That's interesting. In Joel chapters 1 and 2, righteous Jerusalem was spared the beast from the north. But here the wicked among the bride are conquered by the beast, who is described very much in the same way as it was in Joel, as they were in Joel. Very interesting. Makes you think, well, these two things are happening at the same time. They are. They are. We have heard the report. Listen to that. We have heard the report thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us. Pangs of as of a woman in travail. So a righteous fruit will be born out of the old cow, right? Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. We have heard the report, they said. And the Lord says, go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and terror are on every side. There's not going to be any place to hide. Because you're not hiding from men. You're hiding from God. There's no place to hide from Him. He wants your flesh sacrificed on His altar. Not your spirit man sacrificed. You can't hide from God. You can get all the guns and all the bullets and all the food stored up, and you can get everything all ready because you know judgment's coming and you got fear in your heart. Why have you got fear in your heart? The righteous don't fear. But there'll be no place to hide from God. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in the ashes. Make thee mourning. This is what he's asking. Repent. Cry out to God. As for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the destroyer shall suddenly come upon us. For they went into the wilderness, the destroyer came, wiped out Egypt, etc. And with no blood on the doorposts, because they did not eat the lamb, which is the word, they're in trouble. The destroyer is going to take them out. I have made thee a trier and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. Yeah, I suspect Jeremiah, like many other people that the Lord sent, was a trier and a fortress. And a test for them, a trial for them. They are all grievous revolters, going about with slanderers. You know, commonly, people that fall away in this way are slanderers. They are brass and iron. They, all of them, deal corruptly. The bellows blow fiercely. In other words, they go through some terrible things. And the lead is consumed of the fire. But in vain do they go on refining, for the wicked are not plucked away. In other words, the slag is not rejected. They go through terrible things. And you just act like it's normal. They're chastened time and time again of the Lord for their disobedience, but they act like it's the normal Christian life. They don't say, uh-oh, this is God. Why is this happening? Refuse silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. And when they are rejected, they won't even know it or believe it. And Merlin's confirmation to the gates closing, and this above text speaking about these people as the ones that are not going through the gates, is right here, 7 and 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah. Judah is, of course, the people from whom the bride came from, right? Jerusalem. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. See, you're not justified by faith alone, because faith without works is dead. James said, some people want to tear that page out of the Bible. He said, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. What was this place? The gate. He was standing in the gate. Verse 2, stand in the gate. Meaning, if you repent, you will be in the temple of God. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, and I would add in, we are the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. This is our temple of the Lord. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute justice between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods, other Elohim, another Jesus, to your own hurt. See, people, they have created their own Jesus so they can let the flesh live. That's the reason for it. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, which is what? The gate in the land of promises that I gave to your fathers. Would you like to live in the land that our fathers inherited? Remember those apostles back in the time of Jesus, the disciples in Jesus' day? What they inherited? Most of Christianity is not inheriting that. They don't stand on the promises of God. Only the Lord can enable you to do that. He's the only one that can give you the gift of faith. If you don't have the gift of faith, you're just a godless usurper. Then will I cause you. If you amend your ways, I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land. We've been promised a land. And we found a group, another fellowship, one of our brethren did, that came, that are here because they believe that this is going to be where the revival is going to start. Even great men who've prophesied that this is where the revival is going to start. And guess what they have going on in their fellowship? A faction movement. And our brother exhorted them and told them about it and what it's for and how it's separating the bride. And they understood that. How that God is using it in that way. They could see that the people who were sinners were being separated and caused to stumble and offended and gone totally berserk. That happened in that fellowship. And it's happening in other places. Because God is separating his bride. And verse 8 goes on. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal? And they're so sincere in their conscience that they justify theft. And murder. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, Jesus said, right? Through John. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And commit adultery. And swear falsely. And burn incense. In other words, just lie about people. And burn incense unto Baal. Yeah, let's have another Jesus. And walk after other gods that you have not known. And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that we may do all these abominations. That is just the attitude of many people. We're covered by the blood, so we can keep on sinning against God and his people. God sees. God can see. He's not blind. In fact, the text goes on. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Yes, there are many robbers in apostate Jerusalem. Judas was one of them, remember? He was a thief. Behold, I, even I, have seen it, saith the Lord. They act as though God doesn't even see. They act like He can't see. You point out their sins. I say, God sees you. They laugh. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I caused my name to dwell at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. How did he do that? He did it through the prophets. Therefore will I do unto the house which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did, I will do as I did unto Shiloh. Right? Yeah. See, people don't think that those things in the scriptures are going to come to pass again with somebody. And of course, it's going to be a stiff-necked people that are not humble towards God. Some people think because they know about the bride or they know about the man-child, they must be them. I mean, God gave us this wonderful revelation. It must be us. How can you make that leap? First of all, you know, faith without works is dead. There is a bride and there is a man-child and there is a wonderful ministry coming to set things straight. And it's going to be just as hated. These are just going to be just as hated as the previous ones. Look out there. Who's hating who? Who is the one being hated? History repeats. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry, nor pray for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. God is determined to send these folks into great trouble, great tribulation, even as they persecute the saints. They call themselves saints, but they're not. They're just going to be offended and stumble because God is going to put a stumbling block in their way. And people that love them will tell them, hey, this is wrong, you know. It won't make any difference. They'll get offended. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Brethren, is there any sin that God has convicted you of in the past that you still do while you justify it? God hadn't changed his mind just because he's quiet. The problem is, your conscience is seared and you can't hear him. Please make everything right with God now. And right with your fellow man. So you can be in his bride. Just a little exhortation to you from the Lord. I pray you will listen. Father, I ask you to please pour out your spirit on your people. As this deadline approaches, please, Lord, grant repentance. Grant the gift of repentance, the grief for sin. Lord, you turned many people over to the mind of the beast, the mind of the flesh, and they don't know the danger that they're in. The trumpet blows, and they act like nothing's happened. They have no fear of the Lord, no respect for the Word. Lord God, we ask for grace, Lord, for your elect among them. I know that some of them were not chosen and will not be among the elect, and that these things that are happening in these days are for separating people from your bride that like to hang out among them. But many are the called and few are the chosen. That's true of not only the larger body, but also the bride body. And the man-child body. So, Lord, Jesus said, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those whom thou hast given unto me. Some of these people are of the world, Lord, but they snuck in. Like Jesus complained in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Where did this come from? Where did these come from? While men slept, an enemy hath done this. So the tares among the wheat. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And here we are, coming to the harvest, and they're growing together. But the Lord, by His grace, is separating them in these days, as He said He would, them to the fire, and us to shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. O Father, please give grace to Your people, Your chosen, in these days. Please fill us with the faith that we need, Lord, to be assured of Your grace, for it all comes from You, Lord. You'll make Your righteous to stand in these days. You'll put a stumbling block before the wicked, and they will stumble and not even know that they've stumbled into darkness. And we ask You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to let this message get out to Your people in these days, that there's a wonderful opportunity now, while the door is still open, and draw them close to You, Lord Jesus. Come and live in us, Lord Jesus. Come and do Your wonderful work and lead Your flock through this wilderness, Lord, as You did in Moses, and as You did in David, and as You did in Joseph, and as You did in Jesus, in that body that You inherited there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, O Lord, give us wisdom. Give us a tender heart towards You, Lord. If anything You've ever convicted us of, Lord, do it again. We ask for Your mercy, Lord, in Jesus' name.